Best-selling author Dr. Andrew Weil explores the dangers of over-medication and outlines lifestyle changes and alternative treatments for common ailments in his new book, Mind Over Meds. He also examines how we came to be over-medicated and presents science that proves medicine isn't always the best option. Again, the name of the new book is Mind Over Meds, and it's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Andrew Weil back to the roundtable. Dr. Weil, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be here again.
Thank you very much. What brought you to want to look at this idea of drugs and their necessity in our lives?
Well, I've come to feel that over-medication is one of the greatest problems in our healthcare system today. You know, I grew up in the late 1940s and 50s, and the statistics are that Americans took prescribed medication at about 10% of the rate that they do now. And I feel that an awful lot of the medication that's used, and I include over-the-counter as well as prescription, is not necessary. In some cases, it does more harm than good. I think many people who take these products really are unaware of their risks, how they work, and that there are alternatives to dealing with the health conditions for which they're commonly used.
It seems very rare that, I will say this from personal experience, but I think anecdotally from others that I know as well, that it is very rare to go to a primary care physician with an ailment and not leave with a prescription in your hand.
That's what doctors are trained to do, and they are not trained in the other methods that we know work very well for managing illness, including dietary change, use of natural remedies, use of other systems of medicine, use of mind-body therapies. This is just not part of medical education. To be fair, it's also a problem of the expectations of patients. I think if the average patient did not get a prescription from a medical visit, he or she would feel cheated and would go to another doctor until they got one.
This idea in the book, which I really clung to because I find it really interesting, is letting your body heal on its own. When do we believe, or even medically speaking, would it be right to know that that's the proper course of action?
First of all, I think most people have very little confidence in the body's own healing abilities, which are tremendous, and rush off for help without even giving the body a chance. Most diseases end by themselves. There's a famous saying in medicine that the main business of a doctor is to distract the patient while time heals the illness. So this is the case with many common conditions, with colds, with the flu. You ought to have a good sense of your body and know when a problem exceeds your limits. If you have a symptom that is worse than anything you've ever had before, lasts longer than anything you've had, might indicate a serious problem, then of course you want to get help, and medication may be the proper treatment.
You do talk in the book, and as we were just mentioning, about over-medication for those of us who go to our primary care doctor and will end up with a prescription. But you do say that children and the elderly are especially affected by this and over-medicated.
Well, I think one of the most alarming trends in our society is the rampant prescription of psychiatric drugs to kids. Millions of kids are now on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, antipsychotics. You know, this is scary because we have no idea what these drugs do to the developing brain. We're doing a vast experiment with our children. And as for older people, if I look in the medicine cabinets of elderly people, often I find a dozen or more prescriptions, often given by different physicians who probably didn't talk to each other. When a person takes five medications or more, the chances are very, very likely of a serious interaction between those medications.
What role does the pharmaceutical industry play into this, do you believe?
I think it's huge. The pharmaceutical industry exaggerates the benefits of most of the drugs it makes, downplays their risks, enormously influences the prescribing habits of physicians, influence the medical journals, which are dependent on their advertising revenue. And in this country, at least, and the only other country that allows this is New Zealand, with direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription drugs, create enormous demand on the part of patients for their products.
You talk about this in the book. You are not anti-drug completely, just believe that we overuse them.
Absolutely. And when medication is necessary, I advocate using the lowest dose of the least potent agent and never as a standalone treatment. Medication should always be used in the context of lifestyle change, other measures, and if medication is used by itself over a period of time, it often intensifies or worsens the illness. So once you get improvement, you want to back off the use of medication and find other ways to maintain improvement.
When it comes to non-drug treatments, you write about this in the book of doctors being better trained in those treatments and knowing what to do and not always going for their prescription pad. How do we improve that in medical school, and how do we take that step? I know this is something that you've been calling on for years. Have you seen any indication, any glimpse that that is our future?
Definitely. You know, I'm a firm advocate of integrative medicine, which is expanding the medical practice and theory to include all of these other methods. There are now half of the nation's medical schools have joined an academic consortium for integrative health, where these schools indicated their willingness to move in this direction. There are textbooks in integrative medicine published regularly. Our center at the University of Arizona has graduated over 1,600 physicians from intensive training in integrative medicine and all specialties. So it is happening.
I'm also interested in what you were saying about the patients and what they expect. So that's part of the education system, too, of understanding, of having patients understand that they don't always have to have a magic pill.
Exactly. Now, the problem is that if you recommend lifestyle change, that takes work. It may take time. It may not work as quickly as a medication, but the long-term results are better. And in some cases, there are alternative remedies that work very quickly. For example, we're in the midst of a bad hay fever season in many parts of the country. I'm not a fan of antihistamines. There's a chapter in the book on them. There's an excellent natural remedy, freeze-dried nettle leaves. You can get it in capsules. No side effects, inexpensive, works really well, better than any antihistamine that I've tried.
Ultimately, when you look at mind over meds, where does your optimism lie in achieving that goal?
First of all, I have a lot of faith in pharmacists, who I think are very underutilized. They are really trained to be the experts in drug use and are able to advise both patients and doctors about proper use of medications. They're trained to provide a service which many people don't know about, called a medication therapy management review. Often this is done for free or it's covered by Medicare. You can go to a pharmacist, have them review your medications, tell you which may not be necessary, which, you know, are not optimum. They can't make changes, but they can recommend changes to your physician and to you.
The name of the book, Mind Over Meds: Know When Drugs Are Necessary, When Alternatives Are Better, and When to Let Your Body Heal on Its Own. The book is published by Little Brown. Dr. Andrew Weil, a great pleasure as always. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Mind Over Meds. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.